It's such a pleasure to be here, and this is definitely my vibe in here with a bunch of people that want to learn, that understand culture. I have a philosophy. I coach a lot of big executives from big companies, including the president of the Major League Baseball, and I believe people don't work for companies anymore. They work for cultures. And because culture is such a difficult thing to define, I'd like to start by defining culture to you, because I see a lot of culture around me. I see it when I walk up the stairs, and the first thing I get is a diamond drop from the Ziegler Group. This is culture. Culture entails understanding consistently in a consciousness three different things. One, values. If you don't have shared values from top to bottom in an organization, you cannot have a culture. And so I teach my company every week a minimum of an hour on Mondays. Now, I have a different type of company, so I'm able to spend a little bit more time on this stuff, but a minimum of an hour on Mondays, a minimum 15 minutes on Wednesdays, and a minimum of 2 hours on Friday on culture. And every time that we start one of those meetings, every single person, mandatory with exceptions, everything has exceptions, as you'll learn, my non-negotiable behavior has exceptions, but with exceptions, it's mandatory for every employee to attend this. It starts off with values, then it leads to daily practices, then it leads to execution. Now, I add incentives in there just to clearly define, as Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, Napoleon Hill, a definiteness of purpose aligned with our divine direction. And so a lot of people without incentives, they don't understand what the bigger picture is. So if you pay people, incentivize them, knowing, hey, this is how we prioritize because this is important to you, for you to make more money. There's no me in team, but there is an I in win. And we want to, with culture, build champions. If you build champions on your team, your organization, you'll win championships. You'll win championships. You don't have to worry about monthly goals. I know these guys are gonna drop dead now, I just said that. Don't worry about monthly end of month goals and end of quarter goals and end of year's goals, but be intentional about it by building championships, but by building champions. So I focus on building champions in my culture. And within that culture, every person you meet in our organization, from young Nick right there, who's been with me for 6 years, who's now a C-level executive in the company, these are young champions to people who started like Nick that are now president, CEO, and other C-level executives of my company who started with me in their 20s as well. So think about to win at the end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the year. Don't attach all your emotions to, we got to hit this number. No, you have to build your team, your culture, by building your values, your daily practices, and the execution on that. And then in this business, incentives are quite clear. So it's a little bit easier than my opaque business. So let me give you a little bit of my journey, and then we'll talk about values, daily practices, and how to execute on that. I was born in the Midwest in Akron, Ohio. You can see my single mom there. She raised six kids, five boys and a girl, and she only cared about one thing: educating her kids. We had no money. She was a second grade teacher who packed our dinners in paper bags, shoved us into a country squire station wagon that broke down half the time, and filled up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. And while we were in there, the siblings were taught to teach each other in this culture of my family of mentorship. The older kids mentoring the younger kids, everybody mentoring each other under the guise of my mom's whacked out philosophies that are a lot of mom's whacked out philosophies, like doctor, lawyer, or failure. Anyone grow up in a house kind of like that? Or the fetus isn't fully developed till after graduate school. My mom literally used to tell me, I would say, Mom, I'm going to be a professional football player. You know, I'm 7 years old. Look at me. Unfortunately, I'm like the tall, dark, and handsome one in my family. So my grandmother, they were in Michigan and had eight brothers. My grandmother on my dad's side, eight brothers went to Michigan undergrad and Michigan med school, but they're all 5'2" or below. So I thought I was doomed for sure. But I told my mom I want to be a professional football player. And her answer was, do whatever you want after med school. Anyways, I was different than my siblings. They all ended up at Harvard, Penn, Columbia, graduated summa cum laude, very academic. I wanted to play football, and the other thing I wanted to do in the for the sake of what in my life was I just wanted to be rich. But I didn't want to be rich to buy Ferraris. I know we got the Ferrari guy here. Don't worry, I bought plenty of those too. But I didn't want to be rich to buy Ferraris. I wanted to be rich to buy my mom a house, to create financial security for my, that's all. Every day when I was tired, I'd say, I'm not quitting. I'm going to buy my house for my mom. And I really believed it was going to be through football. And I worked really hard. I always say, your skills and knowledge are your basement. Your delta is your desire. People ask me, what's the closest you've come to your potential, Dave? Well, I can proudly tell you, I was a very below average college football player at 147 pounds, but it was closest to my potential. And when I played my first game in college, it was funny. I was the fastest one on my college football team. I weighed 147 pounds, so wasn't that helpful, but I did return punts. It helped a little bit. They put me on as a bullet on the kickoff my freshman year. I was so excited. In my mind, I'm like, I'm going to show everyone, the NFL, everyone, that I'm prepared. So I'm flying down the field. I beat everybody, get through, and I just lay into the ball carrier, and I'm thinking, yes. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, no, because I'm flying backwards as he just throws me off of his thigh onto my back, and then to make insult to injury, he stepped on me while he ran over me, literally stepped on my chest. And I'm thinking as I'm lying on my back, doctor, lawyer, or failure. And so I ended up wanting to be a doctor. And the funny thing is, that's probably when I learned the most valuable lesson my freshman year in college, when my brother was doing his residency at UCLA. So I went over to visit him, and he was in the hospital. And he looked at me and goes, Dave, you look sick. I said, yeah, I hate hospitals. He's like, bro, you are pre-med, you hate hospitals? I go, yeah, well, I'm going to be a sports physician. You're right, I'll be in locker rooms, sidelines. I'll never be in the hospital. And he said this thing to me that changed my life. He said, David, you need to be more interested than interesting. You need to be more interested than interesting. And for me, it changed my perspective of how I saw things. And I started to do research on how I could make the most money to buy my mom a house. And I found out that oil and gas litigators make the most money out of school. And I found out that the best oil and gas law school in the country was a school in New Orleans called Tulane. So I turned down all these great law schools, according to my mom, to go to Tulane to be an oil and gas litigator because I wanted to make money for the sake of buying my mom a house. And so this idea of intention, being more interested than interesting, having a definiteness of purpose, has always been a part of my life. And it makes, and you'll see, the values, daily practices, and execution easy by dissipating the dis-ease, the dis-easy from your life. And so that's the equation that we're going to learn today. And so I went ahead and went to Tulane, did my best. I have a philosophy from my mom. Life is simple. Do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. Right, I'm on a mission to empower over a billion people to be happy. Right, my frying pan is really big. I help people because I find that they make their frying pans really small and wonder why they never catch big fish. I put a big frying pan, but I can't tell you I was confident when I got my calling to empower over a billion people to figure out I have to come every day and speak to groups like you so I can find 1,000 people that will empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people. 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. That's how I'm going to empower over a billion people to be happy. What's happiness? Well, in my opinion, happiness is being able to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. I'll tell you, I've never met anyone in my life who makes a ton of money for the sake of helping others and having fun that isn't happy. And I'm blessed because I'm really good at that. I've always been good at making money. Unfortunately, I wasn't good at keeping it because I went bankrupt in 2008, lost over $100 million while I was running the most notable sports agency in the world. They had made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm, surrounded by and access to what billionaires couldn't afford to do. Sidelines at Super Bowl, backstage at the Masters, all types of different things. But yet I wasn't happy at that time and I lost everything. So making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, having a lot of fun, empowering others to empower others, that's happiness. I do my best, learn lessons, and have fun in law school, graduate top of my class, but I end up with a job offer to be an oil and gas litigator in 1992. Anybody not born yet, Nate? 1992, there we go. So that's a long time ago. So in 1992, just to share a perspective, I was offered $150,000 plus bonus to be an oil and gas litigator right out of law school. That is a huge success. It paid off. But ironically, I also got another job offer to sell legal research on the internet. And the comp plan, you guys will get this in sales, my comp plan was set at $250,000. And so I wanted to take the sales job. Why? Because I would make more money for the sake of buying my mom a house. It wasn't some complex plan that some 24-year-old had. It was really simple. I had a definite purpose. I was put on this earth at that time to buy my mom a house and create financial security. And that's all I gave a shit about. And so I told my mom, I'm taking the sales job. My mom's response, are you kidding me? You need to be a real lawyer. The internet's a fad. It'll never last. Second lesson, beyond be more interested than interesting, is just because someone loves you, cares about you, doesn't mean they give you good advice. In fact, I'll tell you that we should appreciate everyone's advice, because if they're giving you advice, that means they care about you. So you should absolutely say, thank you. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate you think that the internet's a fad, but I got a plan. My purpose is different than yours. Yours is the fetus needs to be developed and I need to have this secure job. You want my security. You want no risk in my life. You don't want me to live the life that I had to live as a child, even though it was a good life. We just didn't have money. And so I decided to take the internet job. And in 9 months, with definiteness of purpose, I was a millionaire. I outperformed everyone 3-1. They changed the comp plan because I made so much money. That's how they reward you sometimes in sales. I was 24. I didn't give a shit. 3 years later, we exit for $3.4 billion. That was after Justice Scalia, when I got to present Westlaw to the Supreme Court of the United States. Justice Scalia looked at me. It was a monochrome screen, an XD computer, and a dial-up 9600 baud modem. That is freaking slow, Nate. It's slow. Especially today, kids would kill themselves just off of that. Honestly. And it made this funny sound. It made this funny sound. Anyways, Justice Scalia looked at me and said, son, nobody, and I repeat, nobody will ever do research on a computer. You need books. This is the wisdom of people, right? And it's really important because technology has the same impact today as it did in 1992, in 1995. People just don't have a perspective that they don't know what they don't know. And it's out of security that they look for control that they do know. But it's not there. You just have to open mind, do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. So I ended up going to the Silicon Valley, raising hundreds of millions of dollars. I end up in 1999 as CEO of Samsung's first data phone division. They were called convergence devices. Later, they were known as smartphones. But it was a Windows device. They had this thing called Windows CE, and that was the original operating system for phones, Windows CE. And I was CEO at a very young age, 31 years old, making millions of dollars, had made millions of dollars from the exit as well, and I wasn't happy. Married my dream girl, I wasn't happy. I had beautiful children, I wasn't happy. I was worth over $100 million, I wasn't happy. I was running the most notable sports agency. By the way, I got hired to be CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, the most notable sports agency in the world. Still, I later started a business with Warren Moon, Marshall Faulk, Troy Aikman, Steve Young. Those were all our clients, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Sabathia Ramirez. We were the most notable sports agency in the world. And I'm running this completely miserable while everyone's telling me, how do I get a job? I want your, oh my, you must have a dream job. And all I was trying to fill a God-sized hole with everything but God. And that's how you end up losing everything as well. And so 2 years before I lost everything in 2006, I was a wreck. Rich, but a wreck. By the way, I did, after 9 months, buy my mom a house. I thought that would make me her favorite child, but realize it didn't. 2 years before, I came home. I had lied to my wife. I told her I wanted to go to the Grammy Awards with Little John, one of my clients. He's a rapper. Not quite as good as Jesse Itzler, both from Atlanta, but still a great rapper and producer. So my wife said, Dave, you really shouldn't go. You're not paying attention to the family, to your work, and you're partying way too much. I'm worried about you. So I lied to her. I went to the Grammy Awards, came home wasted about 5:30 in the morning. I lived in Rancho Santa Fe, California. Huge six-car garage, courtyard, and I can see the silhouette of my five-foot wife waiting for me. The buddy who dropped me off is like, dude, you want to stay at my house? I'm like, no. Right? Look around you. Who do you think did all this? Like some, I walk in and my wife was crying and told me she wasn't happy, told me she was leaving me, told me I better take stock in who I was and what I want to become, or I was going to die. And she didn't want my three daughters to be around it anymore. At that time, I looked at her and I told her the same thing I told my mom, my dad, and my best friend when they told me they were worried about me. I told her to F you. Who do you think you are? And I was walking to my bedroom, or the guest bedroom, and she said something that just struck me. She said, if your mom knew who you really were, what would she say? If your mom knew who you really were, what would you say? I flipped her off, went to bed, woke up full of anger. I hated my mom, I hated my dad, I hated my best friend, and I hated my wife. And I'm sitting there as a lawyer thinking, how can I take all of their money? Because that was what bought me happiness. My whole identity was money. I was 38 years old with everything that everybody around me wanted, a gorgeous wife, three beautiful, healthy children, huge homes, 33 of them, by the way, in San Diego alone, a golf course, a ski mountain, everything, a plane, boats, car, anything I wanted. I could shop at any Ziegler dealership, pay cash, anything I wanted. And I was so empty and so miserable that I hated my mom, my wife, my best friend, and my dad. I sat there thinking, how could I take their money? And all of a sudden, I look over in the closet, and there was this sport coat. This sport coat was given to me on my 30th birthday from my dad, who left when I was 5. My dad gave me the first birthday gift in 20 years, and when he got the sport coat, I was so excited. I called him. I'm like, Dad, I can't believe you remember my birthday. I can't believe it fits. Who'd you talk? Like, I was so excited to reconnect to my own real father, and I opened the jacket, and inside of it, I was hoping it would say for my son's birthday or Armani. He had torn out all the pockets inside. And there was that jacket as I looked over in my closet. My dad telling me that jacket at that time was not for wearing. It was to hang in my closet to remind me I couldn't take anything with me when I was gone. That money would not buy me happiness, and I was just like him. When he said that, it triggered me, and I said, just like you, I'm nothing like you. You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller. F you, and I hung up and hadn't talked to my dad in 8 years. I looked over in the closet. I hadn't seen that jacket almost since he had gotten it for me, and I looked over, and that's when I realized I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my mom. I don't hate my best friend, and I certainly don't hate my wife. I hated myself. I hated myself because I didn't take stock in the values that I grew up with, and I had lost those. I hated myself because I was a liar, a cheater, a back-end seller, an overseller. I hated myself. So I sat there all day to think of these values that I'm going to teach you today that is build a culture that people come and shadow at my business to learn how we build such a great culture in our business. And execute on them by daily practices that accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially in the results that you desire or better. The results you desire or better. I is in win. I develop eyes, individual talent into champions. So the championships are given. Championships are given when you build champions through values, practices, and execution of those every day in a consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. That means what you desire. either as a group or as an individual. Not what other people want for you, not what's missing, not what you don't have, not what social media makes you think that you want. There's a huge energy gap today, especially for kids. Huge between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. Huge energy gap. You need to know I am. I am happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm worthy. This is who I am. I don't care what you think. I don't even know what I think, so how should I care what you think? But people do, especially young people. I have three daughters and a son. I'm constantly trying to get them out of this is what people think I am. So as we move forward here to these values, I sat on that day and I said to myself, I need to have a different mindset, a different perspective. What gives you perspective and why is perspective so important? Well, our thoughts determine our perspective. Our thoughts determine the meaning of everything. And we have the power. God gave all of you the power to give meaning to everything you see. In fact, 2 years later when I went bankrupt, I walked up to my mom's house to tell her because I was too ashamed to tell anyone I was going bankrupt. So my mom had no idea that I was going broke. So now I had to go tell her I was broke. But you know what was even worse? I had to go tell her I lost her house because I didn't take my name off of title because of tax reasons. I had to go tell my mom they were going to evict her from the home. The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her a house and create financial security. Now I had to tell her, one, I was bankrupt, and two, she was moving. So when I got to the door, she opened it. I was like a four-year-old when you can't understand them because they're hysterically crying. That was me, but I was now 40 years old. Ma, what's the matter? Are you okay? Julie, is your wife okay? Are the kids, what's the matter? What's the matter? I lost everything. I lost your house. What? Mom, I lost everything. I lost your home. You need to move. Oh, how can I help you? No, Mom, I don't think you heard me. I lost your home. You need to move out. No, I heard you. Do you need some money? Now, I thought she was going to fall dead when I told her that she had to move out of disappointment, disgrace, or shame. But she sat there strong and wanted to help me. So I looked at her and I said, Mom, why is God punishing me? Why is this happening? Why is God punishing me? And now she smirks at me and says, God doesn't punish anyone. God is protecting you. He's promoting you. He's loving you and perfecting you. You just got to figure it out. That's what made my mom so great. In the lowest, my basement had a basement, and here she was, what? Still just teaching me. Selfless, just teaching what she, in her definite purpose, was her legacy, which were her children. Her job was to teach her children. That's her calling. To teach children in general, but specifically her six children. And there she was teaching me again about faith. My response, I don't believe in God. Her response was a big smile. Oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. Now let's get to work. And I got to work. I'd already been building these values, and I just got more focused on what I desired. This time, instead of I'll be happy when I make $1 million, I'll be happy when I have 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 100 million. It was now not I'll be happy one, but for the sake of what? Because that's what got me there. For the sake of what? Not attaching my emotions to an outcome, but building me as a champion to once again win those championships, to develop my skills, my knowledge, and maintain the common denominator of all successful people. On my podcast, I've done like 2,600 episodes with billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, world-class people, and they have one thing in common, a desire that they must be what they can be. The desire is your delta. So what are these four values? Number one, remember, thoughts become perspective or meaning, perspective becomes behavior, and behavior becomes results. I'll repeat it one more time. Your thoughts become perspective or meaning. Your meaning or perspective becomes behaviors. Behaviors become results. That's how it works. You don't have to attach your emotions to the results. You don't have to say, I'll be happy when I hit my number. You have to have the right behaviors, which needs the right perspective, which reads the right thoughts. So you need the right values that will be the engine for the thoughts, perspectives, behaviors, and results that you desire, either as a collective unit or as an individual. They both work. Number one value in the entire world and of culture is gratitude. I wasn't joking when I said, if you can say thank you 30 straight days, your life will change forever. Why? Because I know in 30 straight days, if you say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up, your perspective will change. It will change for the better, which means your behaviors will change for the better, which means your results will change for the better. This is not rocket science, and it's the truth, and everybody in the world agrees with me when I say gratitude will change your life. Nobody ever shakes their head no and say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But here's the sad thing. Who here thinks they can say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up for 30 straight days? Most people raise their hand. Here's the truth. By tonight, half of us won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, half of us won't, the other half won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost all of us won't say thank you. Because human nature doesn't like simple things. And they don't like consistency. They don't like repetition. Great leaders are annoying. Great parents are annoying. Why? Because you have to be a great leader or a great parent, you have to be repetitive and honest. That's what it takes to be a great leader. And guess what? Human beings don't like repetition or honesty. And even to make it more difficult, the simple things like saying thank you, which takes 0.1 seconds and is free. How simple can we get? Everybody agrees it'll impact the results in your life, but the simple things to do are simple not to do. Part of being grateful is to double down on the simple things, right? Like Lou Holtz, right? John Wooden used to have his team tie their shoelaces. That's a simple thing to do. But loose shoes and improperly tied shoes caused ankle injuries that would cost them championships. Who's won the most championships in college basketball? John Wooden. John Wooden's so powerful with his values and his culture that when I represented Andrew Luck, with Warren Moon, my business partner, at Stanford in the cafeteria, they had the pyramid of success from John Wooden, a UCLA coach. That's pretty cool. But that's culture. Gratitude will give you the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons in anything, even a bankruptcy. Even a bankruptcy of $100 million while you have a public renowned leadership position that's supposed to be one that takes care of people's money. Gratitude, number one. Two, the most overlooked powerful value in the world is forgiveness. See, gratitude will give you that perception, but forgiveness will give you ease. Now, if you're a faith-based person, whatever that faith may be, if you believe in something bigger than you that protects you, promotes you, loves and perfects you at all times, more than your mom, then you'll understand that I want to be at ease so that I can have the infinite amount of intelligence, inspiration, intuition, energy that exists through your God, your faith, whatever that may be. Think about it. You don't get tired because you run out of energy. You get tired because you're interfering with it. You're interfering with an infinite amount of energy, intuition, inspiration, and intelligence. And you have to figure out how you're doing that. And we're going to teach that today with the behaviors that we're going to get to. But gratitude gives you perspective. Forgiveness gives you ease. And there's only one person ever to forgive: yourself. You can't give what you don't have. You want ease in your life? Be the most forgiving person in the world. Your life will be so easy, you can't even imagine. But unfortunately, we have the needs of the ego to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, worried, resentful. That doesn't exist in ease. What are those things? Disease. They're interfering with your infinite power that you were born with. The third value is accountability. Now, everybody in business knows this one. I just have a different perspective of accountability. Accountability is simply, what did I do not only to be responsible, but what did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I doing to participate in this perception, this meaning of it? And what am I supposed to learn from it? So if you take accountability for everything in your life, you will have complete control of your life. And when you have control, your ego doesn't evoke itself to defend yourself, prove yourself. It doesn't do any of that stuff. When you're at ease and you're accountable, you are productive, accessible, and gracious. You then make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. You're happy. The fourth value is effective communication. Not just effectively being able to communicate with everybody around us, the most relative people, and so forth and so on, but effectively communicate with the infinite, your God. You see, it's not just the wisdom of the values that will shorten the distance of resistance, this interference, this disease in your life. It's faith. I just didn't know that until later on in life. I'm one of the most faith-based people you will meet. I believe strongly that I'm protected, promoted, loved, and perfected at all times. I just got to figure it out, just like my mom said. Even when it looks in the present, right? Because evidence, there's usually if we desire something, we have a definiteness of purpose, and you all know this in sales, right? Mid-month, there's no evidence or the evidence is completely contrary that we're ever going to get to our number. It's true in life about everything. Most of the time, if I look at the evidence today, there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary that I'm going to get to where I want to be or better. But somehow I got there again. Why do you think that is? Because I'm protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. I just keep on trying to dissipate, dissolve the interference between me and my potential of what I desire or better. I just don't understand better a lot of times because it takes time. Here's why time's so important. Every problem that you have, every struggle you have, every challenge that you have, the solution's already there. It's just a lapse of time until you figure it out, right? No evidence, the evidence is contrary. Problem, no evidence, the evidence is contrary. Just a lapse of time until you figure it out. That's why they call it a what? A resolution, a resolution. It's already there. They wouldn't have called it a resolution if it wasn't already there. It's just a lapse of time. So we use our values and our culture to shorten the distance of resistance. In other words, shorten the time between what? The problem and the solution. And that's what values do. All right, let's get into the practices. These are the behaviors that will help you get everything you desire better in your life. The number one behavior is to know what you want every day in the circumstances of the day. What you want personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise. What do you want in your divine direction? But remember, you want to align your perception with your direction. You want to align your perception with your direction. So how do we align our perception with our direction? We give meaning to everything we see. We have to give meaning to the mistakes, setbacks, failures, defining moments, historical relevances, successes, and align the meaning of our mistakes with our divine direction every day, according to the circumstances of the day, the weather, the delays, the arguments, the bitching of the customer, whatever it may be. You need to align the meaning of the past with your divine direction and know what you want. Now, to make it easier, because circumstances suck, in other words, when you come up with a well-developed plan of what you want in your divine direction, God will laugh at you. So I try to take a little bit of the humor out of God by having non-negotiable behavior. See, I predetermine my divine direction for 12 hours a day. And I know that 90% of my success, my progress, comes from non-negotiable behavior. Non-negotiable behavior is no matter what the circumstances are, I'm going to do assign time to this. So I have a minimum amount of time on my sleep, a minimum amount of time on my health, a minimum amount of time on my family, a minimum amount of time on my faith, a minimum amount of time on my finance, a minimum amount of time, and studying perception, meaning of time, or relativity of time to align the perception with where I want to be or better, knowing how powerful perception is, because perception is what fuels behavior. Behavior is what fuels results. I never worry about results. I'm intentional about the behaviors because they get me the results, guaranteed, or better. So know what you want in your divine direction. Two, by the way, most people live their lives, and you meet them all the time, they live their lives in nothingness. I call them tubes. I hope you ate, but a tube is someone that their entire life is broken down to food in, food out. They're tubes. They're nothing. When you know what you want every day according to the circumstances and have your non-negotiable behaviors, your sleep, your health, your family, your faith, your finance, the study of time and relativity, which is 12 hours of your day. The majority of it is sleeping. Why is sleep so important? I've had a sleep coach for 20 years. Because what I learned in sports are those people that recover better perform better. It was the equalizer when you don't have as much talent. They could be way more talented than you, but running at 75%. You could be way less talented, but running at 100%, and you're superior. You beat them. So for me, sleep was the number one thing. If you know your what, it's a possibility. It's a mathematical advantage over nothingness. You live your life in possibilities, which is so positive and so fun. But if you know your who, number two, the number two practice is know your who, and this is part of the culture, know who can help you first. Who sits in a situation that I want to be in and can give me directions there so I don't have to pay the dummy tax. I paid over $100 million in dummy tax. That's a lot of value I bring people. That's why I coach so many high-level executives, is they don't want to make the same dumbass mistakes that David Meltzer did. So I am extremely valuable because I'm an idiot. More people ask me financial advice because I lost $100 million than when I made it. Why? Because I can share easily what to avoid better than how, according to circumstances, I made it. So know your who by knowing who can help you and who you can help. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is to surround yourself with people that can help you and you can help. If you do so, people will buy from you and sell for you for life. This whole culture, this business that was built a long time ago, the reason it's so successful is that it's built on a culture of people buying from you and selling for you. Nothing's easier than people selling for you. Oh, Steve loved his Ferrari, told me to get it from you. He flew into Wisconsin to get it, or Lake Forest, wherever, Illinois, right? So, like, how often does that happen? It happens in my life. I'm probably here because of people are buying from me and selling for me. Know your who. The third one, know your how. In order to know your how, you got to understand time and where you're assigning time. 12 hours of my day is non-negotiable, with exception. Remember, with exception, I will be very vulnerable, right? I did not get but 20 minutes today so far on my health because I came back from Japan, immediately went to Dallas, went to Louisville. Flight was canceled, had to drive in late last night to get here, and I wanted to get my minimum of 7 hours of sleep, which got me only 20 minutes on my workout so far. So I make an exception. I may or may not get to a minimum of an hour on my health today, but I'll tell you what, tomorrow in San Diego, super priority, never double down on my L's. You'll never see me losing two games in a row because the things I have to make an exception for from my non-negotiable behavior become doubly non-negotiable. It's the first thing no matter what. So I never am stacking losses as a behavior. I'm a winner. Because I take care of I so I can take care of others. There is an I in win. Know your how. Know your time. Know that there's planned time. There's unplanned time. Study it. Look at it and say, what am I doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing aligned with my divine direction? And how do I adjust my perception to get there faster? To see what's there. Scheduled time, non-scheduled time, planned time, unplanned time. Paid for time, unpaid for time is really important. I like activity I get paid for. There's just 24 hours of activity. I try to maximize the activities I get paid for. Why? Because money doesn't make me happy, but it allows me to shop. And if I shop for the right things for the right reasons, super happy. The more money you have, the more you can help other people if you are making the money for the sake of other people and having fun, which will make you happy. Know your how. Understand productivity, accessibility, and gratitude within the context of every 24 hours. Remember, your human experience is from that time your heart starts till the time it stops. Divided by 24 hours guaranteed by God. Every day you're guaranteed 24 hours. Use it with definiteness of purpose. Use it to learn. Life's about lessons. Lessons keep on coming until you learn them. Keep learning every day for 24 hours. Use it correctly. You're guaranteed 24 hours a day, every day of your life, except for the last day of your life, you'll be cheated. Just realize that and move on. So use that 24 hours by knowing how am I going to use the 24 hours that I was given today with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication to be efficient, effective, and statistically successful. So I'm more productive, more accessible to others, being able to access more of what I desire, and more gracious. What's more gracious? A greater ability to find light, love, and lessons in everything. In other words, being happy. You give meaning to everything you think. My bankruptcy has such a different meaning than the one my mom tried to give me. Because when my mom told me, oh, you're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by losing $100 million, including my house, I can't tell you I'm sat there and going, you're right, mom. Like, if you could hit your mom, I was close. Are you effing kidding me? Right, which is why I said there is no God. But today, my mom is absolutely right. Nothing has protected, promoted, loved, and perfected me more than being humble. My mom has this great quote that I live by every day and still am challenged with. You're either humble or you're about to be. I still make the mistake, just so you know. My daughter bought her first place in Chicago, and genius over here says, oh, don't lock in your rate. Interest rates are going to go down. Iran war happens. Gas. Trust me, interest rates are much higher. You're either humble or you're about to be. You don't know what you don't know, and it goes both ways. So remember, even though the evidence isn't there that you're going to get to where you want to be, or it's against where you think you'll ever get there, you don't know what you don't know. You're either humble or you're about to be. Just keep what? Doing your best, learning lessons, having fun, live by your values, and start executing with these behaviors that create the results that you desire as well. The fourth behavior, daily practice. And remember, these are daily. That's every day, 7 days a week. 7 days a week. It's just I add time to my non-negotiables. I was in Japan. I added a ton of time to family, a ton of time to health. Here, I'm getting the minimums, right? And talk about minimums. I give a minimum of 2 minutes a day to my three daughters. People on the internet, you know, have millions of followers or whatever, and they're like, oh my God, you only spend 2 minutes a day with your daughter. First of all, 2 minutes a day, 7 days a week without missing is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. So I'm probably spending more time, even if it was just 2 minutes. But remember, it's a minimum of 2 minutes. So every day, I tell my kids that I love them, I'm proud of them, and I have their back in that minimum of 2 minutes. Every day, they know that their dad loves them, he's proud of them, and I have their back. Every day for 20 years, I let my mom know that I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love her, and appreciate her. I kept her phone when she passed last year on my plan. I still have it for the main reason that every day I text her, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you, and appreciate you forever. Because I know as a parent, that's all I give a shit about my kids. If my kids would just tell me every day, hey, Dad, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you and appreciate you, right on, do whatever the hell you want. Just do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. Because that's all I ask. My kid's like, I want to be a gamer. Sweet. You want to be a gamer? Throw away the calculus book. Let's go, but you're going to do your best, learn lessons, and have fun doing it. Probably a lot easier doing that with gaming than with calculus. That's all you ask. So the fourth behavior is my favorite. It's called do it now. Know your now. Another simple thing to do. Do you know that 100% of the things you do now get done? 99% of statistics are all made up, but 100% of the things you do now get done and the things you do next get done as well. So what's the antidote to the most interfering behavior that every business has to develop and incur? The antidote to your biggest problems, which is feeling overwhelmed or procrastinating, is doing it now. Know your now. If you know what you want, who you can help, who can help you, and how to get it done, you'll know what's important to you, so it'll be easy to prioritize your now and reprioritize and pre-prioritize. And prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastination. It's impossible to feel overwhelmed if you're doing now and doing next. It's impossible to procrastinate, obviously, if you're doing shit now and doing shit next. More shit gets done. And it takes less time than not doing it now. So you have to know what's important to you in your divine direction, know the meaning or perception of the past, but do it now. The fifth one is the most important. Apply your why. You need to have wisdom and faith to apply your why. You need to believe in something bigger than you that's omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, an infinite energy, intellect, intuition, and inspiration. You need to believe in something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom to apply your why. Because applying your why means this: I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy, and I just got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And so how do we do that? Well, we have to understand human nature within the human experience. What does that mean, David? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that I understand there's uncertainty every day. And I know that the needs of the ego says, I need to be in control. I need to defend myself. I need to prove myself. These are the things the ego says, right? In the old days, it was a saber-toothed tiger going across your cave, and your ego says, oh shit, I got to defend myself. Or I got to prove myself and kill it to say I'm better than dad, or whatever it is. That's what it does. So we know that there's uncertainty 24 hours a day. We know the ego doesn't like uncertainty. We want to have as much control, defense, and proof that we can. So we're going to react instantly, naturally, biochemically, bioanatomically, to the fear that's created by uncertainty. So we evoke it with the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, or resentful. So I'm here to teach you not to stop fear, not to stop being worried, none of those things, not to have to stop being right. Or what I'm here to teach you is how to be aware of when you are, because when you are, you're interfering with your higher self, with your potential. So what do? I now, instead of trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it, when I have any of these reactions to fear, I just stop. Now that sounds simple, just like saying thank you, but it's not. Try getting into an argument with your spouse and stopping. I get in arguments still with my wife, been married 28 years. She's my dream girl since the fourth grade, hated me in the sixth grade when I asked her to go study through a friend. I threw egg at her because she said no. But I'm literally talking to myself in my head while I'm arguing with her, stop, you idiot, just stop talking. And then I say something even dumber. Right? And then I try to walk away so I can stop. And she's like, don't walk away from me. I'll beat your effing ass. I'm like, whoa, stop. But if you can stop, then you can drop. Breathe through your nose, out through your mouth. Drop to ease. Drop to center. Remind yourself. Remember yourself. Recollect yourself with your God. You're infinite. So we stop, we drop, and then we roll into the divine direction. Back into what we want, who we can help, who can help us, how to get it done, and doing it now. When your mind, body, and soul are on fire, just do what your mom taught you when you're on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. Remember, the simple things to do are simple not to do. As simple as it sounds to be grateful, forgiving, accountable, and inspired, as simple as it sounds to do and know what you want every day, who can help you, how to get it done, and do it now, to apply your why. The simple things to do are simple not to do. But if you do that, not only will you have an incredible culture, but I promise you, you will make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. And if you make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and have fun every day of your life, I promise you, you'll be happy. And if you're happy, according to my mission, that'll make me happy. God bless all of you. Thanks for the opportunity.